This is Ready Radio, preparing you to be ready for anything. Now, here's your survival guide for Ready Radio, John Rush.
All right, welcome. Ready Radio KLZ 560 live show today. It is April the 19th. So if you're listening to a replay show, you know exactly what day it is. A cooler day here in Colorado, and the replay you're listening to, it may be much warmer. We'll see, but it's the middle of April, and the weather can change here in Colorado, as you all know. All the more reason to be ready for anything. It's why we do Ready Radio the way we do. Sean Tario joining us now. He's been with us before. Mark37.com. Sean, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Appreciate you joining us, and it's fun. As I was, I went on vacation a couple weeks, got back last weekend, and while I was gone, I actually had somebody specifically asking, hey, I know you've had some of these guys on in the past, and she, you know, rattled off, this listener rattled off a few of the names. You were one of them, asking, hey, can we get these guys back on? And I'm like, well, yeah. And then, of course, I got a email a little bit earlier in the week from you, so it was like, okay, we all thinking along the same lines or what? But here you are.
Well, I'm glad to be back, John. I'm curious if you've started your journey towards freeing yourself from big tech devices and software.
Yeah. You know, on a general basis, I've always sort of been in, you know, that camp, if you would. I will be the first to admit, still use an iPhone. That's one of those things that the architecture that they have and what I do here throughout the day makes it, you know, I don't say it's impossible to switch. I just have to figure out all the different ins and outs to do that. But outside of that, I'm not as plugged in as most would be for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and that's you're at where the vast majority of people are at, is where they say, I want to make the switch. I don't know what it's going to entail.
Well, and you know what? And before we move on, for those folks that may be joining us the first time, haven't heard you in the past, tell us a little bit about what you do, Mark 37, and of course, you know, the seminars and the other things that you do around the country also.
Sure. So our business is focused on helping companies and individuals and families get off of Google and Apple and Microsoft and Amazon and companies, really, at the end of the day, that are taking our dollars and our data, and they're using it against us. They're supporting candidates, causes, and organizations that are promoting a ideology that is, I believe, truly trying to kill us at the end of the day. And they're also using our data to learn as much as possible about us,
right,
so that can then shape a narrative that we will hopefully take hold of and be subservient to as they start to roll out new things like a central bank digital currency, or, you know, this all the, you know, woke new world order type of agenda that is coming down the pipe and has some time.
And partly why you're here today is to talk about some of these things and how to, in a lot of cases, you know, wean yourself away from some of these different things that are out there. And I'm not necessarily saying technology, Sean, because, as you know, technology can be used in a very great way. It can also be used in a very nefarious way. It's pretty much true with anything. It's been that way with, really, with any type of technology, maybe other than, like, modern plumbing. I mean, if you really get down to it, there's not too many things, technologically speaking, including the car, that you couldn't say that about. They can be used for good. They can be used for evil.
And that's important for people to understand, is, you know, technology is a tool. It's on the intention of the person who is designing and using said technology as to how it's going to operate and be used.
Great point.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the people who are using these devices, I mean, most people don't even understand how it works in the first place. It's, you know, magic. And that's to people's disservice, because they don't fully then grasp and understand how much they are being exploited and used by said tools on a day-to-day basis and tracked to that extent.
Good point. No, that's a good point. And I think that, well, I've said this for years, and, you know, one of my businesses I ran for years and years was up in Boulder, Colorado, not far from Ball Aerospace. And even before the internet existed, I had customers, you know, that were, you know, big wigs at Ball and in other places that, you know, Boulder was kind of a high-tech, you know, world, and still is to this day, sort of the second Silicon Valley, if you would, Sean. And I can remember talking to individuals way back in the day, again, even before the internet really came into existence, and listening to what some of these guys had to say. And it's like, you know, their exact words were, if you only knew what government really knew about you, you'd never leave your home.
Yeah.
And that was before the internet existed.
Right. Yeah, it's gotten to the point where we're truly living in the brave new world in 1984, and all these sci-fi books that, you know, were supposed to be warnings were almost predictive programming, leading us to where we are today, where people are willingly carrying around devices that are tracking and monitoring and listening to everything that they're doing all day, every day. And that makes it such that they know you. They know your behavior. They
right.
know who you're talking to, and they understand exactly how you're thinking about your day to the degree that they can feed you things and feed you, you know, content.
Right.
That some people, you know, they'll come to me and be like, oh, they're reading my mind, man. You know,
no, they're just listening
for something that I thought about. And I'm like, you know, I don't doubt that that technology exists. In fact, I do believe that does exist. That type of, you know, mind reading technology does exist. However, I think moreover, what's happening in the majority of these cases is these companies know you so well that they know that you hesitated for a fraction of a second when
yep.
you were scanning through
That's right.
a web page on something.
Absolutely.
And they know that you're probably interested in it, but you've forgotten the fact that you even were there.
That's right. That's right. It. Absolutely. No. And I do believe they also listen. They'll tell you that they aren't, but I have proof day in and day out because of what I do here on air that, yeah, in fact, they are listening to you. And that's through various means, whether it be, you know, physically, in my case, on air, whether it be through your devices. I mean, the reality is, yeah, they have the ability to hear and know a lot more about what you're doing. And to your point, they know your behaviors, you know, online. And again, I think if anybody really did any kind of even a semi-deep dive, Sean, into how, you know, not only, you know, Google, but Meta and on down the line we go, all the different things that are out there and the technologies that people use, you know, if they just study just a teeny bit about what's actually being tracked on them. And again, as a coach myself, coaching other businesses and helping them market and so on, you know, again, like I said earlier, not all that data is bad in the case of a business trying to attract other business and know what their customers are doing, where they're at and so on. There's a lot of great value there. It all comes down to how is it used.
Yeah. Yeah. And Google and Microsoft and Facebook are some of the most egregious companies out there. And they literally have lawsuits almost daily that are being charged against them and that they're losing. It's rare that they'll win a lawsuit about them saying that they're not taking certain types of data, but when in fact it's proven that they are. Apple's a little bit better,
yep.
But they're not that much better.
And I was going to say, what's funny about Apple is, you know, there's a tweet today with Elizabeth Warren actually talking about how the Apple monopoly needs to be broken up. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that because it's like, okay, wait a minute, timeout. Yeah, not that I always agree with everything Apple or any other big company does, but to say that they are a monopoly when you have all sorts of other choices out there among devices used, and that's where you come into play, and we'll talk about what you offer as well. But the reality is, it's not a monopoly. It's still a choice. And, Sean, it just shows you, in my opinion, the ignorance that's on Capitol Hill. These are the individuals that are making policy, creating laws that frankly have no business doing so. They have no idea how technology works. And the whole TikTok debacle is another example of that. I mean, the reality is, you know, whether you're a fan of or against TikTok, no offense, Sean, that is the least of our worries.
100%. You nailed it on both levels. And I think all of it that's happening in D.C. is corrupt on so many levels, but really what the narrative that they're shifting and that they're pushing is driving towards some kind of a digital ID.
Yep.
If they can say that, you know, all this crazy stuff is happening online and we need to track and monitor and control at the end of the day who's online and what they're doing online, then that creates the easy centralization paradigm where they can then start to say, you are no longer allowed access to anything online because of the, you know, the thing that you said that is,
right.
you know, racist.
Right.
Or it's whatever
exactly.
it might be.
Exactly. No, 100%. And that's my fear even of the whole, you know, we could spend this entire hour just talking about what's going on in regards to TikTok, which I won't get into the details. Might do that a little bit next week, folks, because I've learned a lot of different things along those lines. But the reality is, Sean, that one is, and I'll just say it straight up, that is the least of our worries. The reality is there are so many other things going on online, and what they're trying to, and here's my view of TikTok. All they're trying to do is create a narrative and something with TikTok whereby there are, unfortunately, Sean, even in this case, a lot of conservatives that have been against TikTok for quite some time. They're just jumping off of that and using that as something to further along the things you just mentioned a moment ago, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree.
And I hate to say this, there are a lot of conservatives that are being used right now in that manner, unfortunately, and they don't even know it.
Yeah, I think some do know it, unfortunately. There's a lot of, you know, talking heads. It's just becoming so obvious these days who's controlled by money and who's controlled by principle.
Good point.
Based on, you know, what the narratives are that people are pushing. You know, that line of what is really happening in the world is no longer blurred. It's pretty black and white these days. So especially in D.C., I mean, if we hold the dollar up and money up as king, right? Cash is king,
right?
And, everyone's chasing the dollar, and you make it so hard for people to live and even survive in the first place because they need cash. Then people are going to be motivated by money, and when you're motivated by money, you have and you're the one responsible for printing said money.
Yep.
Right, and you print whatever you want, whenever you want.
Right now, it's $1 trillion every 100 days.
Right. It's pretty easy to control a population,
yep.
And especially control the coinage in the courts.
That's right. You're exactly right.
And so that's what they've done, and that's why we see what we have going on. But that then leads to, you know, I think, the most important thing here, which we may have talked about last time, which is our faith, and
yep.
That people just need to get right with God,
yep.
And realize that God has our backs no matter what, and
agree.
That we're called to be saints and angels while we're here on this earth, period. And that if we're having comfy times, we're probably not doing our job right. Probably
good, yep,
not
good
truly living as the saints that God's called us to be.
Great so. Point. All right, so where does your company, you know, Mark 37, you know, what do you guys do? Again, we've had folks that have listened in the past. Some of you listening, this is sort of a recap for you. In other cases, Sean, people may be listening for the very first time, might even be sending this on to, you know, friends and family once we're done, which they, all of you, by the way, have the ability to do. Go to ready-radio.com. You can find these episodes and send them on to somebody if you'd like. But how do you guys fit into all of this?
So we focus on devices. So we call them ghost phones and ghost laptops. But they're really just phones and laptops that anyone could really produce on their own. So we provide education and training to coach people on how to do this stuff on their own. But they're phones and devices that are running open source operating systems.
Right.
That are secure and private. So for the laptops, they're running Linux. And most people are familiar with Linux and they've heard of Linux. What's cool about Linux is not only is it open source, which means you control it, you own it, but it's evolved so much over the last couple of years that you now don't need to learn, you don't need to know how to code
right.
in order to
Correct.
Use a Linux machine, which is great, which means, you know, my 77-year-old dad, who's technologically illiterate, can still use the thing without issues and without calling me every, you know,
right.
day or two.
Right, and to your point, for most people that use a computer, you literally, in most cases, I mean, there are some that are probably a little bit more familiar with what goes on their desktop, Sean, but for most individuals, they really wouldn't know the difference.
Right. Yeah. They go online. They have a couple files that they might keep with pictures or videos.
Email, whatever.
Documents. Yeah. And then they use their browser for the most part.
Correct.
To do everything.
Correct.
So if you're using a safe and secure browser on a Linux box, you're pretty safe and secure. And the way safety and security works on the Linux systems is also pretty unique, but it gets into technical weeds that goes over a lot of people's heads. But long story short, you're much safer and much more secure on these Linux systems than you are running a Microsoft Windows or a Mac OS machine, MacBook with Macintosh or Apple software, because they then control your device. They can get into that laptop or that desktop that you're running, if you're running Microsoft Windows or Mac OS, and they can do whatever they want and see whatever they want. And by proxy, these companies only exist to the extent that they do globally because they've created contracts with our government for quote-unquote national security reasons and provided them with backdoor access to all of these machines. So you may be using encrypted technologies for your email or whatever comms you might be using, but if I can get into your laptop or desktop, and I can see what you see and hear what you hear, it renders that encryption completely useless.
It's irrelevant. Right, exactly.
So that's where, you know, training people on why that operating system is so imperative and so important is key. Because then you can wrap your head around the fact that, you know, these devices are listening to you all the time. They're designed to do that. All these AI tools, so whether it's, you know, Siri or whether it's Alexa, I don't even know what Apple's Cordana or something like that Microsoft has on theirs.
I don't either. Don't know that side of it at all.
Yeah, they're listening to you all the time, and they're waiting for you to say, hey, hello, Siri, or hello, whatever.
Right.
But they're also listening to everything else you say and do, which is why everyone, you know, when they have a conversation about something that they are interested in buying, starts to see ads for that said thing when they go on Facebook or they go on Google or they go on any of these, you know, other big tech platforms, because they're all sharing this data and this information.
Correct.
So the devices, you know, that's the laptop is running Linux. The phones are running something called Graphene OS, which is the most private, secure, open source mobile operating system that's available. So we strip the phone of everything Google. We load Graphene OS, and then we load about 15 different applications that will allow people to get up and running and do their daily business on a regular, you know, on a regular smartphone. So the key question that we get from people is, well, will XYZ app work on this device? And the short answer is yes. Any application you're using today will work on these devices. You may have to do a little workaround and just relearn how to do certain things. The most important of which is, ask yourself, do I really need to have this application installed on my device? And people don't realize that you can actually, like, most people have weather apps installed on their device. They're free, they're pretty cool, and powerful. But that weather app is making money by literally pulling all the data and information off of your phone and selling it.
Right.
People don't realize that. But you could also access that same data by going to that website for that weather app, whether it's like WeatherBug or whatever it might be, WeatherBug.com, type in your address, wherever you might be, you know, Boulder, Colorado, whatever.
Right.
And then you just bookmark that page as a icon on the homepage of your phone. Then you're able to see all that weather data without an application being installed on your device that's literally mining your data.
Right.
While it's on.
Without having the app. And I think it's true for all of us, myself included. Are there applications that are there that probably have been sitting there for X amount of time that aren't even used? And it's like cleaning up anything else on your own desk. We should be doing that on a regular basis. I try to do it. I'll be honest. I'm not as, you know, diligent in that as I probably should. But we've all got apps, Sean, that we've installed at one point or another that aren't even used anymore.
Right, 100%. And you've got apps that were installed without you even giving it permission to, because Apple or Google or whoever decided that it needed to come with it. And those apps are mining your data, and that's in part because, you know, like I used to have on a phone the NFL app, and I don't watch football. I'm a football fan. I could not get rid of it. But then I started doing some research and realized NFL paid, you know, Verizon stupid amount of money in order to have this app on the device, because they were then mining data from customers and reselling that data. It wasn't necessarily them wanting to make money off of people paying for, you know, the NFL coverage. It was because they were literally mining data.
Yeah, and to your point, Sean, this is where, you know, folks, I think, get confused a lot. You know, data is king. You know, Elon Musk isn't as wealthy as he is today. And by the way, I don't think that he's as evil as a lot of people claim he is. I think he gets misguided at times, and I think he's learned a lot even about the side that he came from, by the way. I think he's learned a lot in the last several years. But he has made, you know, gazillions of dollars, literally, off of data.
Yep. Yeah, it used to be the case so I worked in Silicon Valley for 16 years and played around on Sand Hill Road, which is where all the venture capital and private equity firms are located. And it was literally the case for my entire, you know, I moved out there in 98 and left in 2016. So I was out there for a while. And for the entire time that I was there, it was the case that if you had a startup business and you were looking to raise money, if you didn't have what was called a data story, you didn't get funded, period. You did not get funded. Hmm. You needed to explain to these investors how you're going to take data from your customers and be able to mine that data and sell that data and use that data. And that's been the case the entire time. So money has been the new oil for these technology companies for a very long time. This is nothing new, and they've been harvesting this data for a very long, long time, but they've been doing it without people knowing. And I think more and more people are waking up to that reality. You know, on our social media sites on True Social, if you just look up Mark 37, you can find us on Humble, on True Social, on Gab, on Telegram, on Twitter. Every single day, we are dropping stories and news about court cases that these big tech companies have lost, proving definitively that these companies are nefarious and stealing our information.
Correct.
Because most people live in this paradigm where they're like, that would never happen. They could never do that. They would never do that. And it's no longer if they're doing it. It's how egregious is it? I'm telling you, it's extremely egregious. And so much so, it's frightening.
Yeah, and again, I think, Sean, too, the other misnomer is they think that it, in a lot of cases, it's the, you know, parent companies, Microsoft, Apple, et cetera, that are doing a lot of the mining, not saying that they aren't, but I think people forget that even the individual app producer, you know, the maker of the app, in some cases is even more egregious than Microsoft or Apple are.
Yeah, I mean, TikTok is actually a perfect example of that, to be honest. If you read the terms of service from TikTok, it's really no different than Facebook or the rest of them, but you're literally giving away your rights to the data, not only on the device that you just installed that app on, but any other device that may be connected to that app.
Right.
Like that should be mind-blowing to people. But that's what you're doing. So Facebook is the worst when it comes to mining and aggregating all this data and basically harvesting this data, to your point. But Facebook is, you know, Facebook doesn't make cell phones. Facebook isn't a carrier, a network provider.
Right.
They're an app. They're a social media company.
That's right.
And yet they're pulling.
Yeah, if you think about it, Sean, they don't, and I know they produce an app, but outside of actually that little physical icon, they don't make anything.
Yeah, they support the platform that you provide all the data.
Correct. And my point is, you know, they're not a manufacturing company. They don't make hardware. I mean, there's literally nothing that they quote-unquote manufacture other than the app you're using. That's it. That's all they manufacture.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're just living in some interesting paradigms. You know, the first question I asked you, have you started the journey yet? There's a lot of people who are listening right now, and they're nodding their heads. They're like, yep, this is egregious. This is horrible, right? We need to stop doing this. We need to stop participating in this because it's not just the data. They're using that data to then sell it over and over and over again. So they're making money off of you, despite the fact that you may not be paying them a monthly recurring bill or paid them for hardware or anything. They are making money off of you six ways to Sunday.
You're the product.
And then you're the product. And then they turn around and use that money to support the candidates, causes, and organizations that are trying to create us, you know, create the dynamic where we're mind-controlled slaves and continue to be so forever, right?
Yep.
So despite people nodding their heads saying, yep, they still won't make that switch and won't at least start the journey because it's a journey.
It is journey. Right? You're right. Okay, so let's do this. Let's take a quick timeout. Come back after this break. Let's talk about how do folks get started on this journey? How do you guys come into play? What can they do? There's all sorts of options along these lines. Again, we're talking to Sean Tario. He's been with us in the past. Sean Patrick Tario, I should say. Mark37.com is the website, and it's the number 37, not spelled out. So Mark37.com. We'll have links up in our notes later this afternoon on our website as well. Guys, hang tight. We'll come right back. Ready-radio.com is our website. And this is Ready Radio, KLZ 560. We are back. Ready Radio, KLZ 560. Sean Patrick Tario with us today. Mark37.com is the website. Okay, Sean, as we were talking earlier before we went to break, you know, people need to start this journey at some point. And I realize that not everybody's going to be, you know, cold turkey and just dive in and wipe every item and, you know, send you their hardware and start down that path. But at some point, they have to start in this journey. So walk us through how we would do this.
Yeah, so you have to think about this like homesteading or starting to grow your own food, right? You don't just buy a raised bed and some seeds, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're a master gardener and you're, you know, supporting your whole family, you know, enough food for your whole family. It's a journey, right? You got to first assess, well, what are the technologies that I'm dependent on today? Do I use my phone all the time, my laptop all the time? What are the things and the tools that I'm dependent on? And then you also have to go in and do an audit of the applications that you use on a regular basis. Is it, you know, Microsoft Office? Is it your browser? Is it, you know, what are the things that you use? With those tools, right, and an understanding of what the things are that you're using on a regular basis, you can then start charting that course to migrate these things over to devices and software that is not owned by companies trying to kill us, right?
Right.
So I've started offering since our last conversation. You go on our website and you go to any one of our products, the phone, the laptop, the tablet, a handful of the others, and you scroll down a little bit, because a lot of people look at this and they're like, well, I just don't know where to start. So we now offer a free 15-minute digital privacy consultation.
Okay.
So you can sign up. You can give a little bit of information about who you are and what kind of devices you use, so that when it's time to jump on a call and talk with you, we know where to start. I kind of know where you're coming from, and our team knows where you're coming from. So with that, our objective by the end of that call is to start pointing you in the right direction, helping you to understand what resources and tools are available, and getting you started on that journey. And then, you know, giving you also pointing you to some of the other communities that are available that you can start asking questions to and learning from, and other documents and articles and videos that have been posted around the same topic and conversation. So that's really the key, is, you know, when you don't know where to begin, but you know you really want to do something and start the process, that's a good place to start. So I would say you can go to our website, you can click on the phone, the Ghost laptop, the Ghost tablet, and just scroll down a little bit. It says effectively, you know, don't know where to begin on your digital privacy journey, start here. And that's where you would fill out some information. You can sign up for a free 15-minute digital privacy.
Would it be advisable for folks to sit down and sort of take, you know, an inventory of all of the different things that they do that they just knowingly, you know, have sort of, if you would, Sean, signed up to be tracked? And guys, believe me when I say this, you're not going to get completely away from being tracked at all unless you go live in a cave someplace, because the minute you step out into anything public-wise, there are a gazillion cameras, face recognition, et cetera. Sean, as you know, getting away and living, you know, completely, quote-unquote, off the grid is almost physically impossible in today's world. But there's many, many things we can do to at least keep that footprint down to a minimum. So would it be advisable for people to sit down and just write out all the different things in their world they do?
Yes, 100%. And you're totally right. You know, we get people who reach out to us and say, well, there's no point in doing this because, you know, they're going to track you and monitor you no matter what. And I say, well, then there's no point in us trying to grow our own food because of the chemtrails and the garbage they put in the air and the garbage they put in the water, you know, immune system and garbage that's already in the soil. Like, then there's no point. Then we should just give up and we should just crawl in a hole and die, right?
Yeah, that's basically like saying, well, you know, no matter what, the enemy's going to win, so I'll just cower and not do anything about it. That's not how this works.
Right, exactly. So our objective here is to make it extremely difficult and costly for anybody who is trying to track you and monitor you to do so. That's what's really, really important here. Because it is like physical security. You know, I could be in a bunker somewhere hiding with turret gunners outside and a SWAT team protecting me. But if someone has enough means and motive and they really want me dead, they're going to find me and they're going to kill me. So our objective is to just be less of a target for the companies that were currently with zero technological situational awareness, freely giving them all of our information. So that's the key.
Yep.
So doing that audit is 100% the very first step, is you want to sit down. And I have an article on our website. If you go to the blog section of our website, it's called 3 Steps to Digital Freedom. That's the first thing, is you have to do an audit. You have to understand what you're working with. You know, you don't just open up a new bank account and then all of a sudden everything from your old bank account just migrates over to the new bank account. You have to do an audit of all the different accounts that you have tied to your current bank account, and then you've got to contact them and figure out how to port them over. And that's the hardest part for a lot of people, to be honest, because people don't even remember what their usernames and passwords are.
True.
For the most critical, important things that run their life.
Great point.
We need to start taking ownership of these things and accountability for these things. And that's where you can start this process and start this journey.
Okay. So you go through, and you know, on the blog right now, everybody, you know, listening, you can go to mark37.com and even follow along with some of this. So realities, and I should also throw in really quick, Sean, before I move on, you do seminars on this on a pretty routine basis, and or will do this even on a one-on-one basis if people need it, correct?
Yes, definitely. We do that on a consulting basis. So if when we're talking to you during that 15, it usually goes to about 30 minutes, to be honest with you, each one of these calls. So if after that 30 minutes it becomes obvious that, you know, you need more, you don't want to pick up and run with this on your own and learn it on your own, then you can sign up for a consulting session where we're actually going to do a deep dive with you and handhold you through that process.
Okay. So you take this basically inventory of where we're at, what's going on, you know, how big, I guess really what we're really talking about, Sean, is how large, you know, is your current digital footprint. And folks, what I mean by that is really taking an inventory across the board of all the different things you may even subscribe to, all the different websites you may go to, all the things that you've signed up to where you may get notifications from said website, you know, on down the line, Scott, you know, Sean, from everything from not only your phone, your laptop, your other personal devices, tablets you may have, but including even some of the other smart items you might have, including televisions. Are you a cable user? Are you a Dish Network user? On down the line we go, right?
Correct. 100%.
Because every one of those things I just mentioned is basically tracking you, right?
Yeah. I mean, your car is a mobile tracking device at the end of the day.
Yeah. I didn't even get to the car side. Being the car guy that I am, guys, I didn't even get to that, to that end of things. And depending upon what you have agreed to or not agreed to, or what you've hooked into your car, et cetera, yeah, it's actually doing the same thing. And despite what most people will tell you, by the way, all of you listening, your car is doing a lot more tracking of you than you could ever imagine. And the reality is, unless you're driving something without any kind of telematics on it, which frankly, Sean, means you're driving something really old, it's tracking you. It's just that simple.
Yeah. And when, in fact, it's crazy. I went to buy a vehicle 2 years ago for my son. And I was reading through the paperwork and I was like, wait a second, the manufacturer is making me sign away basically the rights to all of that data.
Right.
Yep. For me to even buy the vehicle, I have to give the rights to all of this data that's being tracked to the manufacturer. So I started going back and forth with the salesman about, like, do I need to sign this? Like, I'm not okay with this. And they had to go back and like, well, no one's ever really asked that before.
No, because most people just sign it and move on.
Exactly. Like, no one really, it's kind of like your mortgage documents. How many people actually read through the entire 200 pages of your mortgage?
None.
And it's the same with the app that you're downloading on your device. When you click here to read the terms of use and read the security, posture of our business, no one really reads it. Every now and again, I'll meet someone who raises their hand and says, yep, I definitely read that. But those are the people that also don't install anything and are really not using very much of anything because they've decided it's just not even worth opting into any of it.
Right. And really, again, for everybody listening, the point is, and there's all sorts of, you know, I don't know, I try to decipher some of this, you know, given the other programs I've got and the car program, Drive Radio Tomorrow, guys that we talk about, and I've had many a conversation with individuals, via either email or text messages, Sean, even when it comes to, well, such and such insurance company is now tracking me. It's like, no, it's not now. They've been tracking you for quite some time. Maybe it's a little more public today, but the reality is, you know, cool your jets. They've been doing this for quite some time.
Yeah, that's the key. They've been doing it for a long time. The analogy I give people is it's like the Patriot Act, right? The Patriot Act came out. I read it. I was 21 at the time. People thought I was insane because of how long it was and what it was about. But I started trying to warn people. I'm like, look, this is crazy. And what I learned is that all the Patriot Act was a document that then gave basically the legal mea culpa and the legal justification for our intelligence agencies to do what they were already doing.
Yeah, it just meant they didn't have to go through court and jump through some of the things they used to have to do prior to that. That's all.
Right. It just made it easier for them to do.
Gave them a green light, basically, Sean, is all it did.
Yeah, in a much bigger budget.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, and by the way, we were sold that this is only going to be temporary. It won't be here forever. And guess what? Some, what is it, 30 years later, it's still here? Or 20 years later, it's still here?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so before, you know, before we go much further, I do want to make sure, folks, that you all understand that, hey, you're going to take this inventory, figure out how big your digital footprint is. If you then decide that, hey, there's a way I can minimize some of these things, whether it be my laptop, my cell phone, you know, the pad device that I'm using. Sean, that's where you come into play. And I know we touched on this briefly, you know, earlier in this conversation, but I think this is where some people get confused. Do they, when they decide, let's use a cell phone for example, they decide, all right, I want to get rid of this huge digital footprint, which for most people is probably their largest footprint because it's the most mobile thing they have. I mean, not everybody drags their laptop everywhere they go. They usually leave it at home or don't even have one. They might just use a desktop computer, but their cell device is pretty much going everywhere. Maybe they look at that and say, all right, I want to minimize at least this major footprint that I have. And I think some of the confusion, because I've got some of this response, you know, every time I have you on, people ask these questions and I answer back, and they're thinking that, you know, do I have to buy a device from you? Do I go buy a device and send it to you? Walk us through how that works.
Sure. So not all mobile devices can be de-Googled. And in fact, unfortunately, iPhones cannot be de-Apple, right?
Right. It is so, part of their architecture and how it works.
Exactly. So there's only a certain subset of devices that can be de-Googled. And that's because the hardware and the firmware of these devices don't have specific security and privacy features that are required for this private open source operating system to run.
Right.
And the key to understand there is what this operating system is doing is it's literally putting every application and every piece of hardware in its own little quarantine.
Okay.
So it can't talk to anything else on this device without it giving you a notification and it asking you, do you want this thing to have access to this other thing? Do you want this new application that you just downloaded, this new flashlight app that you just downloaded, to have access to your... So that you can then say, wait a second, what? It's not a matter of you having to read through the terms of service where it says, by downloading this flashlight application, it's going to gain access to your Wi-Fi and your contacts, and are you okay with this? But no one reads it. They just click, yeah, I want this thing. Download it. Get it working as quickly as possible. But now you're going to know, wait a second, this flashlight app wants access to this? Why would it want access to this?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's going to make you more aware and more informed about what's happening. So that only works on certain types of devices. And unfortunately, it's a subset of smartphones that are Pixel phones, which are really Google phones at the end of the day. But we're de-Googling those phones. That's why we call them de-Googled phones.
Okay.
So when we get these devices, we literally reformat the entire operating system. And we strip everything Google off, and then we load all this new operating system and these new applications onto the device.
Okay.
So you can take your SIM card, and a lot of people have a misnomer about what the SIM card is. That SIM card isn't carrying your contacts. It's not carrying other information, files about you. That's a separate SD card, like a storage SD card,
right,
that you can put.
Right. Your SIM card is essentially your digital ID to get on that cell tower network.
100%. That's right.
That's all it is.
So that ties your phone number and your plan that you have with your carrier to whatever device that SIM card is sitting in.
Correct.
So you can take your SIM card out of your iPhone or out of your, you know, LG, whatever you have, or your Samsung S10. And you can put it in these new devices, and it will start to direct then all of your calls and text messages and data plan to.
Yeah, because the reality is, and I don't want to get super technical here, Sean, but, and I don't want to be corrected, so those of you that are super nerds, please don't correct me, but for the most part, the SIM card doesn't care what device it's in.
Right.
I mean,
right.
There are, and again, I'll get corrected because, yes, Sean, I know there are certain circumstances where, yes, it's tied and it does. But for most general purposes, it has no idea where it's at.
And you'll get a notice from your carrier that will say, hey, we've detected that this SIM card is in a new device. And you have to then say, yes, I'm aware of this, I'm okay with this, or no, I'm not aware of this, I'm not okay with this. That's a good thing, because that prevents someone from stealing
right.
your identity,
right.
from stealing your phone number, which if you're using two-factor authentication for bank apps or for cryptocurrency or for
yeah, they have that SIM card, they now have the ability to do all of that.
Right. And yeah. with the, you know, unfortunately with the technology that's out today, I can simulate voice and I call into AT&T and I can say, hey, I lost my SIM card. Can you please send me a new SIM card and either send it to the address, you know, your current address or a new address? And people are stealing literally people's mail in the process of having that happen so that they can then steal that phone number and steal someone's identity in the process. So you want to be notified when that's happening so that you can either approve it or not approve it.
Makes sense. Now, for those of you, too, that, you know, this is where it gets a little bit dicey. Some of you that have newer devices where they are SIM, I don't want to say this, Sean, there's no SIM card. You know, the new iPhones don't require a SIM card anymore. That's all registered. They're an internal SIM, I guess is what you could say. Those of you in that particular realm will have to contact your carrier and actually get a real SIM.
Right. Not necessarily. You can actually use these devices. They're all eSIM. It's called eSIM.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, perfect. Okay.
Yeah. We highly recommend that people actually do use a physical SIM card because if something, you know, if your phone gets run over by a truck,
you're out,
or your car or whatever,
right?
And you have an eSIM, it is a pain in the butt,
right?
To get getting ported.
There's no
over
backup.
There's no backup.
Right.
But if you have a physical SIM, all you need to do is pull your SIM card out of that phone, put it in a new phone, and then you can start making phone. I mean, so long as that SIM card wasn't damaged when it got run over or whatever,
right.
So it gives you a little bit more portability and some flexibility and some redundancy by having that physical SIM. But they are also eSIM compatible. So you can even have two SIMs on the same phone, dual SIM scenario.
True.
So you can have one SIM card that is the physical, one is that the eSIM, and literally have two phone numbers on the same device at the same time. There's very rarely people need to have that happen, but it's totally possible.
All right, makes total sense. Now, is on those types of situations, I'm assuming that if they didn't have the physical SIM, they just have the digital. That's one of those where they need to make sure they're recording that, knowing what it is, which, by the way, it's always attached onto your account anyway. So as long as you log in, you can typically see that. And then you would just move the new device in if that were to happen and you went and got a backup device, correct?
Yeah, so if you have an eSIM right now, all you would do is call your carrier, whoever it may be, and say, hey, I have a new device. I would like to port my eSIM over to a new device. And then they're going to ask you, well, what's the IMEI, which is an identifier for the phone.
Right.
You give them that information, and then they'll port everything over. It might take a couple hours for everything to activate and whatnot, but it'll eventually port everything over to the new device.
Okay, so when it comes to your end, do they need to go to you and have you do everything from scratch, or do they need to go find an actual piece of hardware and send it to you? How does that work?
So if you have a Pixel phone currently and it is unlocked, and this is key, because there's two types of unlocked phones. There are carrier unlocked phones. So if you go to eBay right now, or you go to Swappa or Backmarket, which are different places you can go to buy refurbished phones, or even if you walk into a Google store and you say, I want an unlocked phone. 99% of people only understand that unlocked means carrier unlocked.
Right.
That makes it so that you
can go anywhere you want.
AT&T, Verizon, you can go anywhere
That's right.
you want.
Right? That's right.
A lot of phones though are locked.
Yep. Because you owe money on it most likely.
Exactly.
Sorry, I mean, but that's really, Sean, that's how, for everybody listening, when you've got a locked device, typically, not always, but typically it means you don't own that device outright. You owe money on it.
Right, 100%. And I would even say, even if you do think you own that device, if you're running a Google Android operating system or an iOS operating system, you still don't own it. Apple and Google own that device
True.
Because they can still access it and do whatever the hell they want to it. At any
point. The only difference is it's unlocked, or if you want to go from Verizon, AT&T to T-Mobile or whatever, you can.
Right. So there's another thing called OEM unlocked. And we walk through on our website, if you go to our resources page, there's a process that you can go through to see if your phone is even capable of having the operating system stripped off and released.
Okay.
And that's obviously key, because if it can't, then you're stuck with that
And again, I'm assuming these are things where somebody calls you, you walk them through all of this before they actually send in a piece of hardware to you.
Yes, exactly.
Now, let's say that they don't want to go through all that hassle and they just want to buy a device already ready to go. What do they do?
Yep. So that's called our Ghost Phone product. And we have different types of models available. We've got fives, we've got sixes, and we've got seven pros. People who want something super custom in terms of, you know, how much storage is on the phone, or they want a brand new, you know, I think they're on Pixel 8s right now. They want a brand new Pixel 8 Pro with, you know, 500 gigs of storage. We can do that for you. All you have to do is send us an email, and we'll find it, procure it, and give you a price point for it. And then we'll get it, receive it, we'll do what we do to it, and send it out back to you.
Okay.
So the key also is not only are we loading that operating system for you, which, again, people can do it themselves, but if you don't want to go through that process, we can do it for you.
Okay.
But we're also loading the phone with about 15 different applications, like mapping applications, a browser, and some calendar tool, a VPN, some other comms like Signal and Telegram and some other things on there, so that you can get up and running. But if we know ahead of time what applications you want on the phone, we can even load those on your device for you before you even receive the device.
Okay. All right.
So that's also part of why I encourage people to go through that 15-minute call, because
have that conversation. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So how do you address, and I've got a few minutes here left before we run out of time, and really quick, too, before we actually move forward, somebody also said that, yeah, when you go to cancel Dish Network, Sean, they know how many hours you watched last month, by the way. So just a side note, yes, we got people listening confirming the very thing you and I are talking about. Before we go much further, question for you, because on the website, you actually have a lot of other things besides just the whole phone, tablet, laptop end of things. You'll sell Faraday bags and other things along those lines, right?
Yeah, and we have a lot of partners. I used to keep some inventory with a lot of that stuff, and then it just became a nightmare to manage.
Yeah.
So we've got links that you can go straight to silentslnt.com. If you use our coupon code MARK37, you'll get a discount. And we have all kinds of other, you know, fun products. Like, you know, one thing that I definitely want to talk about are these products called Mic Locks.
Yes. M-I-T. Yeah, thank you. I was going to go there next, so you took the words out of my mouth. Perfect.
Yeah. So MicLock is a really cool company. I call them Band-Aid products, right? Because they don't solve the problem of the phone tracking everything that you're doing. But when you plug this little dongle into the USB-C or your Lightning port on your phone, it becomes the new source for audio.
Okay.
As far as your phone is concerned, and it sends a null signal into your phone. So it will literally kill the mic and lock the mic on your phone.
Okay.
So your phone thinks that it's getting a signal, but it's really getting no signal. So if someone calls you, it can, if you get a certain one that has the what's called sound pass, it will transfer that call if you have a USB, I'm sorry, if you have a head jack attached to it, or if you have it attached to like a Bluetooth headset, it will transfer the call so you can take the call. The second that call is over, it will go back to sending that null signal and not be listening.
I see.
And again, if you go to miclock.com, you can find it on our website, and you can click on the link there. But if you use Mark37, you'll get a discount on your order. They're really cool devices. They're really cheap. They're like $15 to $30 a piece.
Perfect.
But will kill the mic on your phone. People think that if you throw your phone into a Faraday bag, that will block your phone from listening. Yeah.
That's
not the case.
It's more on the electronic EMP end of things. It's not doing anything on the sound side.
Right.
As you know.
And the second you pull your phone out, it's going to transmit that conversation to whoever. Those are some cool types of products that we have listed on the website. But the Ghost phones, tablets, laptops are key. We have something called the Ghost Life service, and that's where we really work with you one-on-one over 30 days and help you get everything fully migrated over.
Nice.
Email, your file, everything migrated over. That's very personal. Because different people need different things, so there's not really a one-size-fits-all type
Very true.
Of situation.
Very true.
I wish there was.
Sean, with that, I got to let you roll. We're winding things up. As you know, the hour goes by really fast. For those of you listening, mark37.com. And if there's anything you missed, a lot of times people come in sort of late, or if you're listening to half of this through a replay, you can go back and listen to the entire episode. Just go to ready ready-radio.com. So ready-radio.com. We'll have this up a little bit later this evening when it comes to the podcast end of things, and you can re-listen as well. And if you're listening to a replay, thank you so much for doing that as well. Sean, man, I appreciate it. We'll have you back on a more routine basis. Sorry it's been a little bit of lapse there, but we'll get you back on a routine basis.
No, I greatly appreciate what you're doing.
You betcha, man. Appreciate you very much. Have a great rest of your day.
Peace.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Again, Sean Patrick Tarrio, mark37.com. We'll be right back. Ready Radio, KLZ 560. All right, that's it. Ready Radio. Thank you all for listening very much. We appreciate it. You can listen to past episodes again. Go to ready-radio.com. That's it for today. This is KLZ 560.
And opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.